Welcome to Ronnie Phillips Podcast. This message is made possible by the partners of Abba's House Media. Help us continue to share this message around the world about how to live free and fully alive. Visit abbashouse.com/partner to learn more. And before you leave, be sure and subscribe to Pastor Ronnie's YouTube channel. Now, here's Pastor Ronnie Phillips.
We're going to talk about prayer tonight. How many of you know we're stronger when we're together? Yeah. Amen? We're stronger when we're together. How many of you feel more secure when you got a friend with you? If you're going somewhere, would you rather be by yourself or would you rather have a friend with you? You'd rather have a friend with you. Same thing with prayer. It's better when you're doing it in agreement. Amen? The Greek word for agreement is symphonio. It means to do things in harmony, to play your part under the authority of the Holy Spirit, to know your gifting and to operate in your gifting in accordance with whatever else God is doing according to His will. Okay? So it's good to do things together. We've been in a series on prayer tonight. We're going to talk about the we principle. Everybody say we. In this manner, therefore, pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We're going to stay right there tonight, and we're going to fast forward to Matthew 18. Truly, I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree on any one thing, about anything that they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I with them. There I am with them also. In other translations, man, when you're together about the king's business and you're together, God can move on your agreement. Amen. I remember before I was saved, I got in a few little fights from time to time. Right, Mom? My mom's in the house tonight. Don't ask her. She'll tell you the truth. But I can remember one time, middle schoolers, I was in church. Reed, don't get any ideas. But I was like, Pastor Seth, I was like in seventh or eighth grade. How many of y'all are in seventh grade? Okay, some of you sixth. Raise your hand, Goober. Okay, a few of you. Okay, eighth grade. All right. So I think I was like in seventh or eighth grade, and my parents let me hang out with much older people. Everybody say, bad idea. Some of these older friends are still members of this church, so I'm not going to mention them by name. And they influenced me, and they taught me some really cool things, but some bad things also. And there was one particular Sunday night service. Back then we had service on Sunday morning and Sunday night. And I'd been in church all day. And this kid had been drawing. We used to give out bulletins with my dad's face on them. How many of you remember those? With the comb over and the whole deal? Okay. So they had dad's big face on there, Pastor Seth. And these kids started drawing nasty stuff on it. They started that morning. It kind of hurt my feelings. You know, they're talking, writing bad words about my dad and so my older friends started daring me to punch the guy. This started on Sunday morning, okay? This started on Sunday morning, and I was like, I was mad, but I stayed mad all day and went back to church Sunday night, and I made a deal with myself or with the devil, whatever way you want to look at it, and I said, if they pull that bulletin back out and start making fun of my dad, I'm punching the guy. Sure enough, just like the devil will do, about 20 minutes into the service, they pull that bulletin out with cuss words and all this stuff about my dad, and I just, right in the middle of service, man, I just laid the guy out, okay? My youth pastor, Brian, had been here like 3 weeks. He freaked out bad. Like, he was carrying me out. It was this big scene. The poor people had only been a member of the church like a week. I think they lasted like a month after that. But it felt good at the time. But in fighting, it's always better if you got some friends with you in case you bite off more than you can chew. And I always, if I couldn't whip you, I made sure I had a friend that could whip you. Amen? And the Christian life's the same way. If the enemy puts an obstacle in front of me, I know one greater that can move that obstacle. Amen? And when we pray, it's also good when we pray to have somebody with us, in agreement with us, amen? That's what the church ought to be. It's the we principle. We've got to come together and we've got to pray. We've got to up our game in his name. Now, we've already talked about the why principle. Why do we pray? To be set apart from the world and for intimacy with God. Then we talked about the word principle. Pray like this. In this manner, you pray. That means you can pray the word of God. You can pray the promises of God over your life, and God will build your strength and build your faith. Now, our Father, we get into the actual words of the prayer. Our Father, not my Father, our Father. We have a global God. He's not just a Baptist God or a Church of God God or a Pentecostal God or just an evangelical God or a charismatic God. He is the God of everybody that accepts Jesus Christ into their heart and confesses their sins. He is a global God, which makes him our Father. So isn't it cool that you can pray to God and he hears you and he empathizes with what you're going through, but he is that same ever-present spirit for the entire world. That tonight when you pray, God's listening to you, but he's also listening to you and to you and to you. He's ever-present. He is a global God. So he is our Father. So when you pray, remember that you're not the only one with problems. And that's hard to really understand when you're in middle school, and I get it. But there are people, believe it or not, that have it way worse than you do. In this city and in other countries, there are people, no matter how bad you have it, that have it way worse than you. And you need to understand when you're asking God for things, that you're asking God things in accordance with many people around the world. They're asking God for things too. They're believing God for something. They're needing revelation for something. So God wants to hear from you, but he is our Father. Then it goes on to say, give us this day our daily bread. That's physical need. Forgive us our trespasses. Please forgive those who trespass against us. Those spiritual needs. Then the warfare principle, which we'll get into later. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Or from the evil one in some translations. And then we get into the worship principle. For thine is the what? And the power and the what? The glory forever. So there's different principles in prayer. And this is the first time in my life that I've decided to take them in bite sizes. And so tonight we deal with the we principle. What is the we principle? When we pray in agreement with others, God unlocks his kingdom. You may not understand the kingdom message, but the message Jesus preached more than any other message was a message called kingdom. It was really not the sinner's prayer. It really wasn't how to have a better life. All those things are great, but he preached kingdom. And the message of Jesus was if you repent and you ask God to forgive you, that he's going to open up doors to you and you're going to walk in a kingdom that most people know not of. Isn't that cool? That God's going to give you revelation. He's going to show you hidden truth. He's going to do things in your life. Once you use your key and open up the door and walk through the door into his kingdom, you're going to see things, have things, believe things that other people can't even understand. You're an ambassador. You're going to look different, talk different, and represent somewhere different once you walk into the kingdom. Don't expect to fit in if you're a kingdom person. Amen? And it won't bother you that you don't fit in once you embrace kingdom. But these principles are a roadmap through prayer. Different things we're to do when we pray and things we are to acknowledge. The first thing I want to talk about is when we say our Father who art in heaven, the first thing that just shows up is the Father dynamic. Is the Father dynamic. Prayer begins with a relationship with the Father. Everybody say, I got a daddy. I tweeted earlier this week that wounded orphans often resent secure sons and daughters. And that's a true statement. Most people will resent someone who has a covering or has been given creative ability to branch out and be who they're supposed to be. It is almost a sin to have a good father in this world now. It's almost a sin. But that is the biblical model, is generational legacy. The father dynamic. Prayer begins with a relationship with the Father. This is what it says. John chapter 8, verse 42. I think we'll have it on the screen for you guys. If God were your Father, you would love me, for I have come here from God. I have not come on my own. God sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Yet because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. If you want to know why that student walked into Santa Fe High School in Texas and shot those other students, it's because he listened to the father of lies. If you want to know why students think they'd be better off dead than alive, it's because they have believed a lie about who they are. They don't believe they're special. They don't believe they have a purpose. They look at their family. They look at all the negatives of life, and they have listened to a lie. God's not going to remind you of your past if you've been forgiven. Who do you think's doing that? The enemy. God's not going to beat you up for something that's under the blood. That's the enemy. That's the father of lies, and he has a tone. He has a tongue. You have to learn how to recognize God's voice, but also the father of lies. The enemy wants to control you. He wants to kill you. He wants to steal the goodness out of you. He wants to take away your dreams. He wants to take away your ambition, your motivation. The enemy wants to destroy you. But he is a liar, a murderer, and a thief. And no weapon formed against you or you shall prosper. Because of who God is, the Father dynamic, the revelation of the Father. God will give you revelation, but you have to have a relationship with the Father. Jesus said what? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. Just because he's a global God doesn't mean there are many paths to him. There's only one way. He's global, but there's still only one way to get to the kingdom. That's through Jesus Christ. If anybody, no matter how gifted they are, no matter how versed they are, if they tell you you can get to God another way than Jesus, you know you're listening to a lie. Because the Bible says there's only one way. The Father will be enough for you, but you enter in through the door, which is Jesus Christ. So the revelation, you must receive revelation from the Father. You must have a relationship with the Father. And you must understand the reality of who the Father is in your life. You see, wounded orphans resent secure sons and daughters because a wounded orphan hasn't embraced their Abba Father. I don't care what your home life's like. Okay, I grew up with friends that were abused, and I had a friend that blew his dad's shoulder off with a shotgun and lived in foster care and everything else, okay, and was abused. I could tell you stories. Brother Timmons could tell you stories from when he worked at Bethel. Pastor Sammy, who's not feeling well. I've grown up. Some of my best friends have the worst stories you've ever heard in your life. But if you embrace God as your father, all the hell and the mess that you go through with your own father or that your friends have gone through, that goes away because you now have the confidence in the covering of a God that loves you. And that's what you've got to have to get through this life. If you keep looking at how mean your daddy was and what he did this or the abuse you went through or the mess or the hell you went through, you're going to live beneath your privilege your whole life. Or maybe you had a good father and you're living off the glory of that. No matter how good or bad your father was or is, you've got to embrace your heavenly father. If you live off something that this earth has to offer, it will never be enough till you have intimacy with Abba Father. You must be in a relationship with him. A relationship with God will carry you, comfort you, convict you, cleanse you, and clothe you with his righteousness. But you have to have a relationship with the Father. It's so important. That's why we're Abba's house, students. Y'all know what Abba means, don't you? Daddy, right? It's what it means. It means God loves you like a daddy's supposed to love you. You just have to embrace him for all that he is. The Bible says the Father gives you good gifts. The Bible says that in Luke 11, that the Father wants to bless his children. A good father wants to bless his children. But Abba Father wants to do even more than that. I mean, if a worldly father gives good gifts, how much more will your heavenly Father bless you? I'm telling you, once I learned the revelation of the Father and entered into a relationship with the Father through Jesus Christ, good and God things begin to happen for me. It's just a fact. It's a biblical principle. It's like sowing and reaping. Certain principles will not return void. If you do them right, they will bring forth the harvest in your life. They'll bring you the right kind of friends, students. I mean, I know at your age, listen, I know friends being cool and being accepted, and I know y'all are too cool to admit this is true. I get it. Y'all can laugh. Chill out a little bit. You're like, oh, God, somebody's looking at the back of my head. But I realize you want to be accepted now, and you want to have a lot of friends, and that's completely normal, and I get it. But I'm telling you, you get my age or older, and you look back, and most of the people that you care about now won't even be in your life in 20 years. I know that's hard to believe. But you're going to make new friends in high school, then you're going to make new friends in the workplace or in college, then you're going to make new friends in your adult life, and the shady ones are going to go away unless you hang on to them. And if you hang on to them, they're going to wreck your life. And some of you are in bad friendships now that need to go because they're using you, they don't care about you, they're keeping you from being all who God has called you to be. That's free. The Father dynamic. The Father wants to bless you. He sent His Spirit into our hearts crying out, Abba, Father. God loves you as a daddy. The Father dynamic, next the family dynamic. When we say our Father who art in heaven, we must recognize that we are part of the family of God. This particular verse is for the church. It's a verse of unity. Everybody say unity. We're stronger together. We're more powerful when we're together. We can beat more devils when we're together. We can accomplish more when we're together. We've got to be together. Most churches are divided across this world. But I believe Abba's house is coming together like never before. The word our here takes away the Lone Ranger Christianity. See, there's so many upstart preachers now. And I'm not a hater. If God's hand's on them in 10, 20 years, His hand will still be on them. Amen? But there's so many haters that were wounded by the church that are starting their internet ministry. They're starting their little ministry to get followers and to get likes because they need affirmation because they're really nothing but an orphan. They've been wounded. They've never had a relationship or the revelation of Abba Father. So they need your likes. They need your follows. They need your affirmation. And these people aren't connected to a local church, which is what the Bible says. So if you'll notice, the people I run with all support a local church or lead one. If someone's not under the covering of a local church and supporting the local church, then I don't want their ministry in this place. Because my Bible says that Jesus is coming back for the church. Amen? Jesus is coming back for the church. He's not coming back for an individual who hates the church, who bashes his church, who bashes his bride, who doesn't want to be with the church, who doesn't put his church first. Everything's more important than the bride. God is coming back for a united church that's in the throes of revival. And I want Abba's house to be one of those millions of global churches. So when Jesus comes back, we're caught up with Him. And we've got to be caught up with Him. But we must learn to walk in unity. Brethren, how good and pleasant it is for us to dwell together in unity. That is what God has called us to do. And that's what we've got to walk in. It's the family dynamic. The family dynamic brings a few things I listed here. First of all, it brings the right kind of friends. When you say our Father, it'll bring you the right kind of friends. Next, it'll bring you security in knowing what you need. When you say our Father and you connect with the global God through His Son Jesus Christ, it begins to give you revelation to the things that you need. When you say our Father, it means teamwork, it means unity, it means the local church. When you say our Father, it means relationships that can and will last. God will put the right relationships in your life to help you, to love you, to empathize with you. That's Seth's word. He'll have to tell you about that. To empathize with you, God will do it. But you have to come together in unity. The Church of Jesus Christ is described in many ways in the Bible. It's described as a family. Everybody say family. It's described as a body. Everybody say body. It's described as a bride. Everybody say loving covenant. It's described as a building. Everybody say building. You see, people always say the church, and this is true, but the church is not the building, it's the people. Yeah, okay.
But God's building his church, and Jesus is the chief cornerstone. So if God's into building things, then don't tell me it's a sin for men and women to build something as a memorial to God, a place that will draw people to him and to worship him. Because God's a builder. So a building is not a sin unless the building is worshiped more than Jesus Christ. The church is also a building. The family dynamic. Finally, the focus dynamic. When you say, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name," when you say, "Our Father," it brings focus into your life. How many of you have trouble focusing? Reed, raise your hand. Reed was the first one. That's good, because that is absolutely the truth. Reed is my dad made over. Sorry, I shouldn't mess with you in front of your friends. You'll get me back. I know you will. Okay. The focus dynamic. When you say, "Our Father who art in heaven," it brings focus into your life. I need focus too. I'm telling you, when you enter into that secret place, that Psalm 91 place, and you begin to pray, God does some really cool things in your life. But one of the things he does is he brings focus to your goals, focus to your dreams, focus to your thought life, focus to your spirit life, focus to what you speak. Teaches you to tame your tongue, to not react wrong. How many of you have reacted wrong this week? I've done pretty good this week. Most weeks I would raise my hand. But some of us have blown it already this week with our tongue and how we've reacted to people. We know we've took the bait of Satan. But I'm telling you, when you say "Our Father," when you commit to a global God through His Son Jesus Christ and you commit to Him in prayer, it brings supernatural focus to your life. I've seen people who accepted Jesus Christ, who got saved, who couldn't read a book without their mind wandering, who became avid readers, who couldn't finish school that finished school. I've seen it bring supernatural focus. I mean, look at Perry Stone. Our pastor's preaching there next week. Y'all all better go support him at OCI. But look at Perry. If Perry was in public school, he'd probably be in special ed classes. I'm not making fun of him. I'm telling you the facts. He's Asperger's and he's on the autism spectrum. It's a fact. They would put him in special ed classes. But this man learned how to pray as a youngster, and he can focus just about greater than any preacher on the revelation of Christ that I've ever heard. He memorizes about this many notes, and he looks at his notes three times. And one time he preached from Genesis to Revelation from 6 p.m. till midnight. I'd be dead. Y'all have to resuscitate me. But he's got a gift. He's the Rain Man of preaching. He is. He is. Because when he cried out, "Our Father," and he committed to a global God through Jesus Christ as a young preacher's kid, the Holy Ghost put something in him, and man's diagnosis of him was not going to stop what God had called him to do. And so I don't make fun, I celebrate who he is and what he's done. People ask me about him all the time because we're friends, and they think, "Well, Perry's rude." No, he's not. He just has trouble in social settings. I love to watch him because he's just a walking miracle. You take away his gift. The fact that he gets up here and does what he does, that in and of itself is a miracle. It's a miracle. Because he wasn't, by man's standards, supposed to be able to do it. And God's blessed him. And when you say "Our Father," I don't care if you're ADD, ADHD, autistic, whatever label man's put on you, when you cry out "Our Father," he can heal you and use you. And it brings focus into your life. What are you looking to and what are you focused on? What are you looking at? What are you looking to? Our focus should be on heaven. Our Father who art in heaven. So a lot of times we're looking horizontally. We're looking at this problem, this problem, this problem, this relationship. We're looking back at the past. When God says, "When you enter into my secret place, I want you looking up. I want you to start looking to heaven for your answers." Selena Alejandro sends me revelation every week, and I love it every time you send it to me. Please don't ever stop. It's so good, and it's so biblical, and it's so encouraging. And she tells me testimonies. That one you sent me this week was just awesome.
about people coming into the church and joining the church and loving the church. It was just encouraging. But her revelations that she sends me and declarations, they're always heavenly focused. It's never on fleshly stuff that we worry about. It's always a God perspective. And that's how we're supposed to be all the time. And I'm sure you're not like that all the time. But every time she's around me, she is, so that's the way I think of her. But we're supposed to have a heavenly perspective. It's what it says in Colossians. Set your mind not on earthly things, but on heavenly things. So when you pray, young people, keep your eyes on heaven. You don't have to know everything about heaven. Just know it's greater than where you're living. And that God's there, and that He can release things into your life from there. Things that will change you and fill you and bless your life. God can do it. Somebody say amen. It'll bring you in to focus. Your focus must be heaven. It says in Matthew 16 that He's going to give us the keys to the kingdom of heaven. My friend Pastor Eric Clark can preach on that. He might do it here sometime. But God's given us the keys, and there are many different keys, and I don't have time for that tonight. Key of authority, key of ownership. There's so many different keys, I believe, that God gives us. But the main thing is authority. When God comes into your life, you have authority over the enemy and over this world. You don't have to walk like everybody else. You don't have to submit to the pressures of this world. You walk in a different level because your focus is heaven. It brings you into focus. Prayer is not talking God into something. Everybody repeat that. Say, prayer is not talking God into something. It's adjusting our lives to His plan. It's adjusting our lives to His plan. You can pray for something all day long that's not in accordance with God's will and plan. It's not going to happen. You got to get in intimacy with God. And when you get in intimacy with Him, His plan will become your plan. And when His plan becomes your plan, miracles happen. When His plan becomes your plan. Now, if my plan's not His plan, I can pray for my plan all day, but it's going to keep screwing up. But when His plan becomes my plan, God will start to do things. Holy Ghost momentum will begin to happen. I believe that when our focus has changed, it releases a new level of praise and intercession. We taught you all those things. Supplication, the ask and expect, the thanksgiving. In Isaiah it says, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strengths. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That's what happens when God gets your attention and you shift your eyes from the things that you're struggling with to heaven. You may get to a place in your spiritual walk where you're just like, look, I have nowhere else to look but heaven. How many of you have been there? I have nowhere. I can't look to psychology. I can't look to friends. I can't look to family. I'm so desperate, I'm just going to look to heaven. Some of you may be there tonight. You may be listening to this and you may be like, I need a miracle. Let me tell you, cry out to God. Believe God's best for your life. Believe that His word is true. Believe that you'll be healed by faith. Let your plan become His plan, and His plan become your plan, and watch what God will do. The word watch means to be vigilant. It doesn't mean you're like, it means, man, you're looking to heaven with excitement, like, God, what are you going to do for me next? God, where do you want me to go? God, what do you want me to say? What do you want me to do? Vigilant, man. Vigilant, excited, expectant. Watching what God wants. The Bible says to continue earnestly in prayer with thanksgiving. Earnestly. Prayer is something we've got to do all the time. You can do it in your car. You don't have to pray in New King James English. That's nowhere in the Bible. You don't have to get up and say, "Oh," you know. What's with the people that pray the same prayer every time they pray before dinner? Will somebody help me with that? Why do people do that, Seth? Do you know? The Baptists always say what? Bless this food to our bodies and the bodies to thy service. It's a great prayer, but why do we have to pray the same way every time? Sometimes I just go, Lord, bless it. I got that from Dr. Bob Binyard. We'd been preaching all day, and he just said, Lord, bless it. So sometimes I do it, Lord, bless it. You think God's up there going, he didn't use four sentences. I mean, really? Mix it up with God, you know? Mix it up with God. God wants to hear from you. From you. Not the person you pretend to be. God wants to hear from you. He knows who you are anyway. So just get real with God. It says in 1 Peter, be sober. Again, this word, vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Be vigilant because the enemy wants to destroy you. If you know Jesus, you're a threat to the devil. And the more anointing that's on your life, the more of a threat you are. More attacks you face, particularly at a young age, the more anointing's on your life. If you've had a few close calls in your life, understand God's got more for you if you're still here. God's not done with you yet. God's in the business of restoration. God wants to use you. Don't ever think God can't use you. Prayer also has to do with not only the watch, but it washes you. Sometimes you have to wait on the Lord. Sometimes you have to be vigilant and watch for the Lord. But prayer is also a wash. God will cleanse you through your prayers. Aren't you thankful for that? About 80% of the people said they've already messed up this week with their tongue. The good news is God will cleanse you of that tonight before you leave. God will cleanse you of it. If you've messed up this week, God will cleanse you of it. Now, we're to never take advantage of God's grace with our hearts. The only people who know whether or not we're taking advantage of God is God. It's not my job to go, well, Angie's taking advantage of God. How do I know? I don't know. It's not my job to judge you. But God knows if you're committing the same sin over and over and just going, Lord, forgive me, and you're not really repentant, you're not serious, you're not vigilant about what God's asked you to do and be. He knows. It's about the wash. Psalms 139. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand when I awake. I am still with you. It washes you. The Bible says when you confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive your sins. So from the students to the adults, the good news is your sins are forgiven you. Your sins are forgiven. If God's convicted you of something you've done wrong, ask Him to forgive you and He'll forgive you. And then walk out of here tonight with the joy of the Lord. Walk out of here with a new light, a new perspective. When you say, Our Father, you recognize Him as Father, you realize you're a part of a family, and you're brought back into focus. And I don't know about you, but that's what I needed at 12, and that's what I still need at 37. I need focus, need family. Thankful I got a daddy. Bow your head and close your eyes all over this place. If we could just have some light worship tonight, I just want to kind of pray over you tonight. Why don't we stand on our feet if we could, and let's make some confessions together tonight, and then I'm going to pray. Why don't we just confess this? First of all, if you don't know Jesus, I just want you to say, Lord, forgive me. Everybody say, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. Save me. Fill me, use me for your glory. Now, if you prayed and you received Jesus, I want you to tell Pastor Seth if you're a student. We'll help you get started. If you're an adult, I want you to come tell me after the service or come let me know. But I want us to make a confession now. Everybody say, my sins are forgiven. My perspective is changed. I'm thankful for my daddy. And I love my family. In Jesus' name, amen. Now I'm going to pray over you as we worship. Heavenly Father, I bless these students. I bless these adults. Lord, I just empower them
to go be what you've called them to be and to go do what you've called them to do. Lord, if they're sixth grade, I pray they would start right now taking small steps on their journey with you. Lord, I pray they would know that you are a just God, that you are a righteous God, that you don't play around. But Lord, I pray they would also know that you love them unconditionally and that you're going to have enough grace for them when they mess up. Father God, I pray that they would learn at this age to love you the right way so they won't have to struggle like so many others do in this day and age. Father, I pray for my adults in the house tonight. Lord, this message is just as relevant to them as it is these students. They need to understand unity. Athletes understand it. Students even understand this better than adults, Father. The power of unity and agreement. Father God, I pray that our church would be a place of unity, a place of agreement, a place where we don't say my Father selfishly, but our Father who art in heaven. Lord, I pray that our focus would change. Whether it means going to Mozambique in a tent for 14 days to get a touch from you and to release a touch to someone else, or it means setting down our phone for a few hours, or volunteering in the kingdom in some way, whatever it means, Father, I just pray in the Spirit now that you would do it. You'd do it in power for these people. You'd shift their focus and that they would be proud of you as daddy and proud of this church as family. Father God, I pray that you'd send us orphans that need a family, that have been wounded and hurt. Lord, we promise to take care of them. Father God, I pray that you'd use this church in a powerful way. Lord, we're thankful for the why, and the word, and the we. But Lord, we close with where we'll pick back up next week. We're going to worship you as Father with a heavenly perspective before we leave tonight. So Lord, we worship you because you're the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. You're our lover, our friend, our comforter, our deliverer. You are Jesus, King of kings and Lord of lords. You are our everlasting Father. You are great I Am. You are Prince of Peace. Your majesty amazes me every single day. Your love never fails. Your grace never runs out. Lord, I ask you to renew the passion in our people. Strengthen us where we are weak. And send them out with joy unspeakable and full of glory as we worship you tonight, Father. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Would you worship God a few minutes before we go tonight and just lift his name up? Give God a shout of praise tonight as we worship him just for a few minutes.
Thanks for joining us today for Pastor Ronnie's message. Connect with us at abbashouse.com or ronniephillips.org. We hope this message has been a blessing to you. If it has, please subscribe to our podcast. You can invest in helping others live free and fully alive by giving at abbashouse.com/give. Thanks for listening.